Doesn't he just look like a cunt?
Who?
XXX dick.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a dude you want to punch in the face and then teabag when you beat him in Halo 2.
He looks like the kind of asshole you'd run against Hillary Clinton. Because you're certain they'd never vote for someone as horrible, unlikable, and wanting to abuse women.
No.
And so you think, yeah, you can easily win, even if you don't go to all the Rust Belt states.
even if your husband fucked over the world twice.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 52, and oh god, it's been a week. It's been a busy week for both of us. You, what have you been doing all week, Sean?
Getting ready to race.
Which is tomorrow. And you have another race in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So
then I have the next week off, and I'm sleeping.
No days off.
No days off.
Then I had the whole election coverage.
Back to the mines.
I live with you now, and I didn't see you for 3 days.
You see me for like almost most of the week.
Yeah.
Basically.
This is the most time I've spent next to you all week. This is hot. Anyways, this week we're going to be talking about Kids See Ghosts. We've been looking forward to that. That's the yay Kanye Kid Cudi thing. We have Georgia Smith, her debut album, Lost and Found. We have a lot to say about that. And we have a discussion about XXXTentacion. Whatever.
Knows.
We're going to talk about, there's this big article that came out about, like, really details all the allegations against him. It's pretty brutal. And there's been this thing that people have been saying that, oh, he's like R. Kelly. He's a horrible person, but a great musician. Which is an interesting take on R. Kelly and an interesting, yeah, but we'll be talking about, does that apply to XXXTentacion later? But first, we don't have a really singles of the week, but we do have kind of this interesting thing that happened. So a lot of the non-music world is reeling from the fact that Anthony Bourdain, famous, like, travel person, chef.
Yes, the British chef.
Yeah, took his own life earlier in the past couple days. And Queens of the Stone Age actually has something to do with this, because in addition to playing the song Long Slow Goodbye in his honor during a show, I didn't know this, but the frontman for Queens of the Stone Age, the one who really hates
photographers,
he, that's going to be fun on the mic. Hi, Wind Chimes. He actually created the song for the he created the song for Parts Unknown. The intro song is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bourdain was a big music fan, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing of, this whole week has been two big suicides.
Yeah, there's also Kate Spade, who, less music, but also in, like, the
fashion world.
So, that's a lot. I can't handle this anymore. I'm going to get rid of, that's going off. But we're continuing. We're so professional. You can see us on video now, because that's great. But,
just doing that live, like, fuck it.
I don't care. Might as well just go right into it. But, no, it's really, obviously, we talk about suicides, unfortunately, a lot on this show.
It's serious. It's, Jesus, the past year, since June of 2017, it's just been awful.
I mean, we actually have numbers now that, like, suicides have gone up, like, 30% almost in the United States since the 90s.
I call that neoliberalism in the internet age.
We could have a whole dissertation about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just
I think it's really social media is a big problem with that, but
I think so.
We should honestly have a conversation about that sometime.
I don't know how that fits into music, but I would love to in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could definitely fit it with music because of musicians. How many musicians have killed themselves?
But a lot of musicians are very detached from social media on purpose because many of them see it as a problem and negative on their lives. So I don't know if there's a correlation between social media. I think it might be there for the population in general.
Yeah.
But with musicians, I don't know if it's that.
Well, we could have, I didn't mean like specifically that, but a general conversation.
Your podcast, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. My podcast.
Let's go right into the news for this week. But so unfortunately the rap beef is over.
That was quick.
It's really sad. Jay Prince apparently pulled Drake aside and said, hey, we can't really let this whole rap beef thing go on. It's going to be too messy. Apparently, Drake had...
Not a little bitch.
Well...
J Prince.
Yeah. J Prince, why are you doing this to us? We want a good, clean rap beef. Yeah, we know it was...
Clean, wholesome
rap We know beef. It probably would have ended in severe violence, but like...
That's the idea. We want Ron Artest coming, breaking a chair, table, leg, and just stabbing someone with it, and then having to change his name. To meta world peace. Also, fuck Bron.
What? There's so much. Okay, but basically J Prince convinced Drake, after seeing all the quote-unquote ingredients that were going to go into the Pusha T disc, to not release it.
Ingredients?
I mean, like, there are all these... Basically, he said it was going to be life-ruining for Pusha T, which I meant was I'm like...
I'm down.
Yeah, I
wanted
care.
To see this dumpster fire happen.
I just, I like watching car crashes. It's just me. But... He says, we're about a movement, not a moment, in responding to that whole thing. And Pusha T says, okay, the rap beef is over. Drake, he still has an album to release, and he's been kind of quiet after it. He actually released a single amidst all the rap beef, but like no one really paid attention to it, and it wasn't really that good. I think it was called I'm Upset or something, which is probably how he feels about the rap beef itself. But we are expecting Scorpion, that album, to come out later in June, so... Maybe we haven't heard the last from Drake, but it's sounding like maybe we've heard the last from Drake. So Drake is 1-1 in rap beefs.
It's just stupid. Rap beef. Hold the beef.
ASAP Ferg.
It's fake beef. That's that ASAP. Beyond meat. Beyond meat beef of rap. ASAP Ferg, what do you do?
Has the only take that matters, because...
What do you say?
He said that the Pusha T Drake beef resurrected classic rap beefs and that it was good for the... That we needed it. Like, the music, the rap world needed it.
Yeah, because everything's just been trap and bullshit for a long time.
Not even that, like, trap is bad, per se, but...
Trap is bad, but...
And you like it.
I like one artist.
You like several.
Not really.
You have a couple...
I like 21, and that's about it.
Okay.
Like, this really it.
That's amazing. Of all...
Of all of them, but because he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones seem fake. So to see it, like, slightly, but, like, his...
There's self-awareness to that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, AK with the scope on.
Jesus. next, so we get into Kids See Ghosts. There really wasn't a lot of news this week.
This is
it's
fuck
a
all.
Short episode because there wasn't a lot of news, and Jesus Christ, we're really busy. But,
I have a freaking race tomorrow. I need to be sleeping. Ken will see this podcast, and he will, like, comment on my stuff and be like, stop.
I haven't been able to even... publish a lot of the videos from the past two episodes of Audio Face, although they should be up soon on our YouTube channel and everything, because I've been so busy with work.
So what happens when you cover elections and shit?
And now I have no other choice but to edit and publish these videos tonight along with this episode of Audio Face, because I have no more space on my computer, and oops. I need to actually finish projects in order to clear up space.
Oops.
So I'm stuck.
Oops.
It's gonna be a fun weekend. This is a fun weekend. Kids See Ghosts got released. It's the collaboration between Kid Cudi and Kanye West. So, Kanye on the top of his best album ever made. Yay.
worst album ever.
That we talked about...
Last week.
Last week and had...
Ripped it a new asshole.
Yeah, we really didn't like it.
Dog shit.
Kids See Ghosts has come out. 7 songs, 23 minutes. Really, really short, but...
Yeah, again short. I was surprised.
Well, all of these... Kanye produced albums like Pusha T's mm-hmm. and his own, and this one have been 7 songs. That's apparently like his number that he's going with, which I mean, okay, he's learning restraint in at least one aspect of his life.
I'm not saying anything. I'm trying not to get bleeped.
This is great. Thank you so much.
I'm trying not to get bleeped. Yeah.
Do you want to start and how you felt about Kids See Ghosts?
Yeah, it wasn't bad actually, because last week was a dumpster fire. And you're trying to throw it with battery acid to put it out, so it just, like, kept growing and shit, and then you accidentally set the whole parking lot on fire. And then, like, 6 blocks are just on fire, and the fire department come by, but you go, well...
And by the way, the parking lot's full of Teslas, so every time you put one out, it just keeps going.
What is this fucking Fallout where everything's made out of uranium, so nukes go off, and then everything's nuked for the rest of eternity?
Fallout 5, Richard Hammond Funtown.
I'm slow down.
Okay.
Anyways, so it wasn't... The first song was shit. I'll give it that. I hated the first song, and then it got better from there. The third song, Fourth Dimension, was actually really good, and I was surprised. I had it on my car when I was driving on the freeway, and I go, okay, this is actually bumping. And this is weird because Kanye usually sucks. But granted, it's not just him this time.
You're right.
And I think that's why I liked it. It also featured Louis Prima. Don't know who that is. And Kid See Ghost, the sixth song, was good. And then Cudi Montage was interesting.
Yeah.
The last song. But overall, actually not bad. Considering, especially last week, like three times better than last week.
So, the Kanye albums are very interesting because his fandom is very adamant that their dumpster fire of an artist is actually a genius. And maybe that was true at some point, but it's definitely not now.
Yep.
And actually a lot of the music world kind of agrees, not that I care, but they do. That was like not really a great album that came out. But one thing that I said that I will still defend about that album was Kanye West as a producer is still decent. It's just that when he's in his like yay mode, he's not really producing like good work. He's too caught up in what I think I was talking about last time. Yeah. The celebrity of it all kind of became, it overshadowed the music.
Yeah, yeah.
The celebrity bled into the music and worse than the music. Here, because it's more of a collaboration, I feel that he's more restrained. Cudi, some of the, because West is doing a production kind of role, he's still there. I mean, his voice is basically the percussion for Feel the Love at one point, mm-hmm. which is, you either love it or you hate it. I'm in the middle leaning towards hating it, but it wasn't horrible. Scoop is officially his trap tag because he dropped that in one song. I forget which one.
Scoop.
But he's just like, Scoop! But nevertheless, the Kanye Westness of this album is about how much I like, in the sense that's pretty much limited to production, which he excels at. And his lyricism in this album felt a lot better, I think, because this one he actually spent more than 2 weeks on. But
that's true. It didn't feel rushed.
Some of Kanye's bars, he was throwing it back to like older eras of rap. Like some of it felt positively MF Doom-like, I would say. So like Uncle Rappy in a borderline good way. And of course we were talking about Fourth Dimension, which is the song that goes like, it kind of starts from a Doom-like vaudeville sample.
Yeah.
And then
that's what I
drops into it, a then, really sick beat. Yeah, that's definitely, I think, the highlight of the song.
Oh, and it's the highlight of the album.
Highlight of the album is what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I really like it. And Jesus, I have no numerical rating system, so we're just going to do out of 23, because it's 23 minutes long, and that's on brand.
That is on brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
One being bad, 23 being good. What would you rate this album?
First off, I can't fucking spell kids, can I?
You can't.
Oh, well. I'm going to put this at 17.
17.
Like a 17, which is pretty high for me.
Overall, like, what's your final takeaway from it? That's 74%.
74%. Which, as you know me, I'm a harsh grader.
Yeah.
In general. There's very few albums.
You don't want him doing your spelling tests?
No, you definitely don't. Because I see your C is like going up and around a little too much, then I go swipe that shit wrong.
He's one of those people who corrects your handwriting.
Which I really shouldn't be, because my professors cannot read my handwriting and they hate it.
But that's how harsh of a grader you are.
Yeah, but my handwriting is so distinctive that I won't put my name on it and they know my paper. Out of like 300 papers, like, that's Sean's. Like, immediately, they already know it.
They're
like,
because they're traumatized by your awful handwriting.
Yeah. That's bad. I'm not kidding. Anyways, that's really high for a Kanye-produced album for me. So it's saying something. I did thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm surprised I did. There were still moments where I go, it's too much con. I don't need that in my life. But anyways, what's yours? What's your takeaway?
I think while Kanye is still kind of Kanye on this album, it's restrained in a way where it's not too distracting.
Yeah.
And there is a line. Like, Kanye can still be himself, but as long as that doesn't distract too much from the music and he still puts out a good product, I will allow it. And in this case, I can allow it. Cudi kills his verses. Ooh. Kanye even does really well in his verses. The
no celebrity con
attention to detail, not too much. The attention to detail with production is actually there, and that's really promising. And so I'll give it a 19 out of 23. A little bit better, and yeah, I'm gonna be bumping at least Fourth Dimension a lot.
Fourth Dimension, I'll be bumping.
Really good songs in here. Kid See Ghost, I also really like. Next, this is kind of in that similar vein because of the what was it? I'm forgetting because this has been a long week. Anthony Bourdain thing. But Earl Sweatshirt canceled his European tour due to ongoing anxiety and depression because his father recently died, and that kind of makes sense.
Yep. 100% allowed.
Yeah.
If you have a loss of a parent, then you can take as much time off as you need.
Yeah. I think that's...
Because my favorite goalie, Matt Murray, his father died in January this year, and he took like 3 weeks off of plane, something like that.
Yeah.
So you take all the time you need.
I mean, like, these musicians, they're people too at the end of the day.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Like, the new kind of... I mean, we can get into a rant about how capitalism encourages people having multiple different jobs and multiple different gigs at the same time and hustling, and that's how you're supposed to, and barely squeaking by is supposed to be something you aspire to because that's what we're being trained to accept as normal in this post-neoliberal hellscape. Hashtag no politics. But that being
said... Post-neoliberal hellscape. It's current neoliberal hellscape.
Oh, no, we're exiting neoliberalism and going to this, like, pseudo-state, like, corporate fascism in which we have, like, systems in place that encourage total, like... Overreach of our entire society and corporations. I'm going so hard right now.
You're going way harder than me.
My point in all of this is saying that the expectation for artists to constantly tour like they are right now is still a semi-new thing because...
And it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's really hard on artists. It's really draining.
That's what I remember Matty Healy saying. That's why he was... Part of the reason why he got addicted to drugs and stuff was he said his life just changed... And they were always on tour. They're constantly on tour. And he says it gets to a point where you're just tired and you want to be in one place for a bit.
Yeah.
You don't want to be constantly going, you know, at full gas for 3 years. Imagine that, going hotel room to hotel room to hotel room.
Everyone's expecting you to be the life of the party. Can't vodka shots all the time.
Yeah, and if you're a vocalist or something, it's really hard on you. A musician of any type, it's exhausting. I mean, that's what... book I'm reading right now, Fire on All Sides, from James Rhodes. He's a concert pianist, and it's going from his tour in 2016 and going over it and just how exhausting it is.
Yeah.
And if you don't get a break in anything, especially in music, it can take a toll on you. So that's why some of the best artists, they take a long break in between their works and in between touring.
Yeah.
So, which I always say, go for it.
I do too. I mean...
Recharge the battery so that way you can come back stronger.
It's always like, however you can take care of yourself, however you can mm-hmm. reach out to other people and take care of them, like, it's super crucial.
Yeah.
It's so real. Here's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't reach out to people and choke them.
Jesus Christ.
Without their consent, which is, now we understand what...
Choke me, daddy.
Amir Van from Brockhampton, the recently ousted member, was doing. Mm. So when we first reported on that story where he was kicked out of the band, it was like for emotional and physical abuse. And so a lot of these are sexual abuse, and we have like a hard line. We don't really talk about that.
Yeah, we're like, no.
And
when it comes to dicks, no dicks.
Yeah, or in other way around, there are people who can be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to.
Please don't. But when we talked about this case, it was a lot about, okay, this person's early 20s, we're talking about physical and emotional abuse. A lot of people go across that line, not even knowing it.
Because they're assholes and stuff like that.
And then
you're growing.
And then they learn, and then they cut it out. And so you cut a little bit more slack for that, and I think we ultimately did too. So now, there's a report that kind of his MO was that he would like consensually be like hooking up with people, but then pull out these super extreme like BDSM, not like even playful choking, just like nearly... like girls passing out.
Damn, Jesus Christ, just let go a little bit,
and
dog.
And that part wasn't consensual. That was like super by surprise. Here's the thing with BDSM. Like, please, the whole point and the reason why the culture is good, allegedly, is that people, like, consent is such a big part about it, and open communication is such a big part about it. And so if you're going to play around with those things, some people enjoy those things, but like, please just ask and make sure people are on the same page. The element of surprise isn't that great when you're choking to death.
I'm not saying anything. I'm keeping your podcast clean.
Thank you. It's less for me to edit.
See, yeah, I know this week is hard for editing. If it wasn't, I'd be saying things. It'd be brilliant.
We did. I'm just gonna move forward, but
because I really want to get to this album.
Yeah, Georgia Smith's, because he can't keep it to himself. Georgia Smith is a.
That's really not good after our conversation.
Georgia Smith's new album, Lost and Found. This is her debut album. She is an Woo! English singer songwriter.
Oh, she's English.
English, yes. Singer songwriter with a
blown up Dresden for no reason.
12 song, 46 minute album. I can start off this one since I started the last one. This is really, really fucking good. She has a really amazing voice. I like with the instrumentation that it goes. There's a lot of. One thing I don't like in R&B singer-songwriter albums these days that are primarily with female vocalists is that it all kind of has this electronic synth soul drone almost.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
starting to get kind of old. And even as kind of picking this album to review, I was worried it might be that, but you know, open-minded, whatever. And there was another album that came out this week, I don't remember who, but it had that same exact tone. I was like, I can't do this. But this varies in that instrumental production, not so much to where I feel like it's disjointed as I have with other singer-songwriter albums, because I remember complaining with Sam Smith's that, like, because the singer-songwriter album, there's going to be a bunch of different, like, musical templates for which Sam Smith just lends his pipes to. Think about that phrasing. But with this, it's more either this rock thing slightly or this synth electronic thing. But it usually ends up going pretty well. And with her voice, she's got this really good voice, this really good way of making lyrics stand out and have punch and have soul and meaning through her voice, which is like, it's something you get from hearing Lorde sing. It's something you get from just the best, most soulful singers. I mean, she's being compared to Marian Hill even at this point, which is maybe early, but maybe not too far off base in my opinion. What do you think?
You know who she reminds me of?
Who?
Sade. Which is one of my all-time favorite artists ever. That band is fucking amazing. The production and everything of this album, it sounds so much like it, but in a modern way.
Yeah.
And there is one song that, the second song, Teenage Fantasy.
Yeah.
That it is fucking amazing. The lyrics of it go hard. There's a part where it says, we all want a teenage fantasy, want it when we can't have it. When we got it, we don't seem to want it. Which is so relevant with so many people that I know. In not just in love, but in general things in life. You chase something and you think you want it. Once you get it, you're kind of, oh, okay.
Right.
You let down by it or something. And that, like, that lyric was so prevalent. To me and like in so many aspects of life. Yeah
I saw that as well, especially that's the chorus, and then that whole, I think that song really captures the idea of the human emotion or the human relationship between like the chase, I guess.
Yeah,
where you like that journey more than you like reaching that destination. Once you reach that destination, you kind of realize
you hit, that's the peak, and then you just fall down. It's like with some Wow. Some athletes.
LeBron? Are we going to turn this into a LeBron dance?
No.
Because that'd be masterful if you did.
I mean, I could. Actually, kind of. Where you have a athlete who's chasing a championship their entire life. Once they win that championship, they're done. They like, retire from the sport, or they switch sports, or they're just done. I know that in so many aspects. Nico Rosberg won 2016 F1 World Championship, retired immediately. You have that with a couple others. You have that in, like, cycling. A couple of guys would win a championship, then they would switch. They'd be like, okay, I got my yellow jersey. That's all I wanted. I have that in triathlon where Gwen Jorgensen won Olympic gold. Now she switched to just running. There's that where you've been chasing this dream for so long, you reach it, and then you go, was it actually worth it?
Yeah.
And that's not just in sports. It's in so many aspects in life. Maybe you've been trying to chase, like, getting a big-ass house or a nice car, and you get it, and you go, was it worth it? Some people, yeah, they're worth it, they're good, then they keep that up. But there's very few people I see that happens. Those are only the best athletes in the world that can go, okay, you know, I'm greedy, I want more championships.
And that's when you ditch your shitty team and go on to another one, LeBron.
Three times.
Are we ready for the decision part 3? It's gonna be a fun month.
Like, can you go to the New York Knicks, please? I'm so fucking down for the New York Knicks.
Taking my talents to douche beach. Okay. Jesus. But as an album, this, like, it flows together, which is what I want. This is one of the rare albums where I think the latter half is stronger than the first half.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Because Wandering Romance is pretty good. Blue Lights is really amazing.
Lifeboats.
The Lifeboats freestyle goes super hard. And then Goodbye's Tomorrow, Don't Watch Me Cry. I really don't usually love the last parts of albums except for the last song because that's usually when it gets softer. You know me, I like upbeat shit.
Yeah, unless it's Radiohead, where Radiohead be like, I'm gonna wait and give him my best shit for the last two songs. Like, you can't. Yeah.
But,
that's what they did.
In this, it's just such a really good first effort. And you don't see really good first efforts a lot. We've seen a couple recently, but this is very good.
It's fantastic.
What's your ranking for this one?
22.
22? I will match that 22, absolutely. It is damn near perfect. Like, you know perfect when you see it. It's not there, but her next album could be like 27 out of 23.
Yeah, it's like, it's not A Hail to the Thief or something like, it's not perfect. Super close. And for R&B, that's rare because some of them can get very generic and stuff.
Yeah.
And this wasn't. That's what I liked about it. So, yeah. And the lyrics. Oh!
Yeah, she's...
Jesus! It's like, fantastic.
Really great production. It's really good. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. We'll talk about Ticketfly Data Breach. Which
and
is
then
super
our
short
discussion.
On Xtentacion. Super short episode. It's
and get
fun.
Bleeped.
We'll be right back. Popping in with a super quick story. If you've ever used Ticketfly for anything ever, change your password now. there's a pretty massive data breach where email addresses, phone numbers, and billing addresses were collected from 26 million customers.
Holy shit. Yeah, change your shit. I mean, I change my shit constantly anyways because yeah. Paranoid.
Yeah.
You should too.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, do that. All right, we're now going into the XXXTentacion conversation. So we've basically been silently protesting this motherfucker because it's clear he's an awful person. These things are very obvious. And there's a Miami New Times article called The Real Story of South Florida Rapper XXXTentacion, which is like half a... Literally, as Sean and I were reading this, it was like the story of Thugnificent, if Thugnificent was a rapist.
I swear to God, if Thugnificent was a woman beater, this would be him.
A homework for those who have Hulu, watch or acquire elsewhere, watch The Boondock Season 2, The Story of Thugnificent, and then read the real story of South Florida rapper XXXTentacion. I'll like link to it in the description somewhere for this episode. But literally, so it kind of goes through... Onfroy, which is what's-his-face's last name. It goes through his life story about how there's this one anecdote where when he was a kid, his mom always told him to beat people's asses if they were mean to him, which is
so bad.
That's how it starts. It kind of details the most recent thing where he saved this woman who's ultimately accusing XXXTentacion of extreme abuse. He takes in this woman from another abusive situation, and they're together, and things are kind of going okay, but then XXXTentacion is abusing, like, choking, slapping, hitting this woman, and it's just such a cycle of shittiness. And it talks about how XXXTentacion has denied this repeatedly, and he said that, she's lying. Everything she's saying is exaggerating. What was his response? So Ayala, or whatever the woman was, her name, she was pregnant at the time when one of the times XXXTentacion was beating her. And his response to that was, for all you dumb fuck ass niggas that thought that stupid bitch was pregnant, I've got the paperwork signifying that she wasn't pregnant, so when I get out, I'll fuck your little sisters in their fucking throat hole. End quote. Which is exactly what you want to say when people think you're too violent. So, how are you feeling from reading this article?
This is so bad. Because I read the first half during the week and I just couldn't take it. And I'm like, I'll read it later. This is unbelievably bad. He had a girl who he's like on a off again scene move in with him, and then immediately she was like, okay, this is something is off. And so she said, according to her deposition and interview 2 weeks after moving in, Ayala. Okay, admired a childhood friend's new grills. In a Snapchat video she posted, it prompted Onfroy, what, XXX dick fuck, to grab her iPhone 6S, smash it on the floor, and strike her hard in the face. He later fixed the phone, but Ayala was stunned. I got slapped for no reason, and he kept acting like everything was cool. Apparently, he hit her again, and she said, I was really lightheaded because the slap was so hard. It was one of those slaps where you hear raining. God damn.
He returned holding a long-handled barbecue fork and a wire barbecue brush. He was like, which one do you want me to use?
Jesus Christ. Use no.
Like, there's a lot more detail. It's really bad.
She said.
No. Don't read that.
I'm good.
Don't read that. I don't want. That gets like super brutal and Game of Thrones-ish graphic. But like, it really goes into detailing this abuse. And so we're talking about all of this because Spotify had this policy to where they weren't. This is when you should really be watching audio face video, because Sean's face as he's reading the rest of this article is wild. But it's the reaction that people should be having.
Jesus, fuck.
It's the reaction people should be having to how horrible of a person XXXTentacion is. And Spotify put this policy in which, hey, we're not going to ban his music from our platform. We're going to continue letting him make money that way, but we're not going to put him on Spotify's promoted playlists. Which I think is a decision. As a company, you don't want to promote literally one of the worst people ever. And yeah, it's...
Or the R. Kelly argument where he said, oh, his music's so good that he can get away with it. No, fuck you.
Let's get to that point in just a second. But Kendrick Lamar stood up for this guy. Let's remember that all the time. Kendrick Lamar said, this policy is unfair and it's unfairly hurting XXXTentacion, and Spotify pulled back because they didn't want to lose Kendrick Lamar's discography, and then XXXTentacion went on his Instagram page to thank Kendrick Lamar for continuing letting him make money so he can live in the aspect of the American criminal justice system, whereas so long as you have money, you are more or less immune from serious treatment, or like serious criminal punishment. Which is just kind of my opinion. But that's the thing people are saying, that, oh, he's a genius, just listen to his music. So we listened to XXXTentacion's question mark. That was like our third review of the week, but we didn't, like, it's not a new album, so it's not in that category. And so that's what people were saying to me when I was like, how can you be okay with this as a someone who likes XXXTentacion or whatever? And they're saying that, oh, he blends different genres and he, like, does these things. He's actually a musical genius. And so, Sean, you like artists that blend different genres, and you listen to a lot of musical geniuses. Do you see that there in question mark, an 18-song album, 37 minutes long, released earlier this year, 2018? How did you feel about listening to this?
It's bullshit. It's not good. It's whatever.
Elaborate.
It's like, hold on, I gotta pop. I was just, sorry, I'm reading this article and literally being dumbfounded because of how bad it is. It was long as fuck. Felt long as fuck. Granted, it's only, what?
37
minutes long. But because every song was so, like, every song was, what, a minute and a half or so?
Mostly, yeah.
Whoa, bed moved. It just felt all over the place to me.
But, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you felt the same way, but I know the idea was to blend genres, which, yeah, you can kind of say that, but it wasn't anything special.
I'll say it's the only reason I can say something almost good about this album is because it comes from a genre and it comes from a context in music where everything else is just really bad.
That's true.
So to have someone who takes what a lot of SoundCloud rap basically is, which is like kind of this weird mix of trap and like punk, emo, punk, screamo.
Yeah, like Lil Peep.
Yeah.
But actually, Lil Peep's music low-key was good.
No, but it wasn't.
Like, but it no, was, I was like, compared.
No, I would go the other way around. This is good compared to Lil Peep. because, like, the going through genres thing is a little bit more fleshed out. It doesn't work very well.
No.
But you can tell when he's going into a punk mode, when he's going into a trap mode. And in those modes, he, like, can wade through them decently well. But not a lot of artists are trying to do that, which you can say, and that's why he's a genius. And I say, no, it's because other artists are really...
Are really shit.
Yeah, because...
And that's the whole thing of the genre. Why I hate it.
Because if people can look at XXXTentacion and go, oh, he's blending different genres together, that makes him a genius, then what the fuck? I'll make music. I don't care.
It's like Lil Peep's a genius then, apparently. And then everybody, all the...
And some of these people think that. Like, I don't...
I remember that when he died and committed suicide. And people were like, oh, he's a genius. I listened to him. Like, it's not bad, but it's not fucking amazing.
I mean, I just thought it was straight horse diarrhea that all of Lil Peep's work. But
there was like two songs. Like, I think I literally only listened to three songs, and one of them was good, and the other two was shit. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's the thing with it, is the genre is so bland that anything remotely different sounds good. It's like, okay, it's as if you ate shit your entire life. You eat shitty food your entire life. No matter what diet thing you go on, you're gonna lose weight. If you go ketogenic, which will kill you. If you go vegan, which saves the planet and friends and people.
Well, or it doesn't really save you any friends. You lose friends as a vegan.
Actually.
Just listen to...
Let's break out the window. If you go vegetarian, then you're the best person. Skirt. If you do that, then anything you do, you change it, you alter it, you're gonna lose weight. The same thing kind of applies to this, where if you change anything in the genre, it's gonna sound different, and you're gonna sound, oh wow, this is totally different than anything else I've ever heard of, because there's no one else doing it, but that doesn't make it good. If that makes any sense.
It makes total sense. And this is ultimately all a side conversation, because what we should be getting back to is, regardless of how good or not good the music is, where do people draw the line? And the fact that people draw the line at shitty music that they think is kind of good because of the rest of the state of the music industry. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can kind of look at XXXTentacion and go, this is everything that's kind of wrong with music. That people like this can be glorified, not only by, like, peons who don't really know music, who just go on SoundCloud and listen to whatever's popular, but like Kendrick Lamar, Pulitzer Kenny, quote unquote, pulled up for this. Spotify's like good conscience and good sense, which, yeah, that policy wasn't perfect. I've talked about that all the time. I'll be the first to say that, but definitely the intentions were right there, and they're not moving to punish this person. Keep in mind, this girl, her fan, like, XXXTentacion's fans keep tracking her down and harassing her, like, her places of work, her, like, home. That's the thing, is that you're creating this fan base when you have this influence, when you have this following, and they're gonna kind of be like you, because they idolize you, because music, for better or for worse, state of the industry thing, is people idolize musicians and see them as living lives they can't live. And musicians also often talk about lives they aren't even living. And so when you have this toxic mix combining, you're pulling in these really violent people with violent ideologies who usually have to go, oh, well, this person's not actually inciting violence, even if they have violent followers. No, this artist is actually inciting violence and has violent followers and is a wife beater, basically.
Him and R. Kelly need to go to jail and get put down.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's...
It's unbelievably how bad the accusations against them and everything, which you could pretty much say are true, how bad it is. Read the article. There's stuff I literally can't say on the podcast.
Let's talk about XXXTentacion's view on feminism. Have you read that?
I'm good. I don't want to talk about this.
No. Anymore. He says that feminists aren't looking for equality. He says they're looking for empowerment. Quote, women may see or feel that they're belittled, but you're only belittled if you want to be belittled. Take, for instance, Hillary Clinton. She ran for president and she wasn't killed for it. That says everything.
Well, now he's just an idiot, but okay.
His response to Me Too, people can just go off hearsay and women are almost more powerful than men.
Okay.
I don't know if he could hear the irony over the sound of him abusing this... people, like, again, when people say, oh, XXXTentacion is great, well, XXXTentacion is good, talk about this shit. Because this is a fundamental culture change, the fundamental disrespect of, like...
Not even the funny disrespectful.
Yeah, it's like, the person being hurt by all this is a poor, like, black woman who's actually literally poor. And in this cycle of abuse and poverty, and we're going, yeah, well, that's okay, because that's kind of how the world is, and this man makes good music.
Fuck off. This isn't Game of Thrones.
Yeah, this is a fucking society we're trying to run. Nevertheless, that was a very interesting episode we just had. Yeah. We made a lot of fun, we made a lot of serious, and now you're gonna make a lot of jail.
Yes.
And I'm going to make a lot of content. So thank you for watching. You can subscribe to this podcast. Please do. That helps you get episodes every single week. Mm-hmm. Helps to show the podcast. React to it. Share it. Like it. Subscribe. All those things. Follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web. Or on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. You are everything at
SW Suarez.
And the entire podcast is at Audio Face Pod. Thank you for listening or watching. And we'll see you, talk to you next week. Bye.
Cheers.